recording their lives.
Right.
It's a book of history.
Right. You know, it's just like,
which is horrifying. Mm-hmm.
You know, if I wrote a book now that talked about, you know, well, we all have this, you know, everyone's going to have to stay inside because there's going to be a sickness that comes over the world. I was going to be like, oh, you know, like yesterday, mm-hmm. you know, it's not that weird. It's, that's the thing. If some of the images in the book are powerful, not because they're fantastic, but because they're real, that's part of what makes them powerful. Yeah. All right. Since this is only a 6-week class, we're not going to sit together and read the entire book. We're going to have to be a little bit selective. You all are going to read the entire book. I mean, we're all going to read the entire book. We're just not going to read the entire book here. But I do love to get volunteers to read, and I was wondering if somebody would read the first 4 verses of the book of Revelation. First person to stick their hand gets to do it. All right. Great volunteer. That's right. Good job.
Yeah. Everybody listening, because you're so glad it's not you.
Exactly.
Yeah. What version do you have?
I have King James.
Ooh, let's go.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it to his angels, to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads, those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it. For the time is near. John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the 7 spirits who are before the throne.
Perfect. Quickly now, what are some of the words in particular that leap out at you?
Blessed is he who reads.
Blessed is he who reads. Okay.
He hears.
Okay. All right. So we have, and I have bad handwriting. Deal with it. all right. Blessed.
Very good.
No, it's not.
Yeah, man.
Right? Other words that leap out at you.
My mother says aloud. Read it aloud.
Read it aloud. Actually, that's very important. Okay? And read it aloud. Mm-hmm. Other words.
Testify.
Oh, testify. Very good. There's some words that you don't hear very often, you know, in day-to-day life.
Prophecy.
Prophecy. Very good. All right. I have to write very slow. If it's going
to
be
what about take to heart?
Take to heart. Take the words to heart, okay? Let's gloss that a little bit and say listen. We're going to listen to the words, okay? Listen kind of with a capital L, all right? What about the second word that's in the entire book? Not
Revelation.
The. Revelation! All right. Very good. All right. I think that's good. So, let's take John at his word. John is going to write to the 7 churches that are in Asia. So he's writing to a particular place. Okay, now that number 7 has some significance. We'll get into that at a later time. But John is writing to a particular time, particular place, all right? In a time where things are going on and are scary, all right? How many times in our lives has something scary happened, all right, and the president comes on the TV and sits at the Oval Office and says, all right, here's what we're going to do and everything's going to be okay? Or, you know, the queen sends a message to her peoples during times of war and strife, right? That's what John is doing here, all right? And he's writing this letter to the people in Asia at these churches, okay? And 7 churches probably means like all the churches of Asia, all right? And he wants people to hear it, all right? So, an extra bit of homework for you all, bonus, extra credit is this. Go find an audio version of the book of Revelation and sit and listen to it. And don't read the words. Just listen and stare at a wall or, you know, while you're driving or something like that, and let the images play through your head. One of the main issues with the way that modern people read Revelation is they read it close with a pencil in their hand, and they underline or highlight interesting things, and then they get to thinking, ooh, I bet I can break the code of Revelation. I'm going to find out what the people said that the nowadays people don't understand because I can read it. That's not why it was written. It wasn't even written to be read. It was written to be heard. It's a feast for the ears. So, it's about 1 hour and 10 minutes long to listen to it. All right, next time you got to drive to the city or something like that, do yourself a favor and listen to it. Okay? Because of that, they're not spending a lot of time puzzling out messages and things like that. So, we're going to do an exercise really quick before we get back to those words. My last prop for tonight. Here's a question. What is this?
It's
a flag. It's a flag. Okay? All right. So, when I ask that question, and you all answer it like that, that's what we might call the literal interpretation. Okay? What is this? It's a flag. End of story. All right? Let me ask another question. What does this mean?
A lot of things that aren't true.
A lot of things that aren't true? Okay. What are some things that it means, true or not?
It symbolizes
a nation of people. Oh, now everyone starts to... Okay, let's kind of go around. I heard DL.
It symbolizes a nation of people.
Okay, it symbolizes a nation of people. This means, like, not just America, but it means Americans. And, like, America, right? Good. All right. What else?
It stands for truth and justice, but we don't have that.
Liberty, truth, and justice, right? Someone said 50 states.
50 states.
Okay.
13 colonies.
Oh, that's an interesting way to read it, okay? Why are there 13 stripes?
13 colonies.
13. Why are there 50 stars?
50 states.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Here's another thing. Why red?
For the blood of Christ.
For blood.
For the blood. Bloodshed. Spilled blood. Okay. Why white?
Purity.
Purity.
Purity and innocence.
Like I said, it's what we don't have.
So anyway. Ugh. All right. What about blue? That's the one no one knows. Including me. I don't know. That's what blue means. Okay.
Pretend it stands for the water that stays through the tea.
Okay.
I think it stands for our best friends, the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific.
All right. There you go. Yeah, and blue sky. A lot of this. Anyway, okay. So, that's a lot of different answers, okay? Now, let's ask another question. All right. Thank you. There we go. That was my next guess. Yeah. So if this was a logo on a box of food, what would it mean?
Made in America?
If the flag was a logo on a box of food, what would it mean?
Made in America?
Made in America, all right?
Grown in America.
Compliments of the red, white, and blue, all right?
There are foods with that on the logo.
Okay. If this was printed on the side of a tank, what would it mean?
We're coming over, and we're not coming back till it's over there.
There you go. There you go. Okay, so not only does it mean a lot of different things, it means different things in different times and different places. Okay?
Different people.
And through different people, all right?
What does it mean now when you see somebody flying it from the back of their pickup?
There you go. See? It means different things, different times, different people. So, later on in this book, a dragon is going to come out of the sea. All right? Now, the literal interpretation of that is a dragon. Dragons are cool. I like Lord of the Rings. Okay? But then you say, oh, the dragon has this many heads, and the dragon has this many eyes, and that sort of thing. Okay? Then people make the mistake of thinking that there's a code. All right? Revelation, with a couple of exceptions that I will point out, Revelation does not speak in code, all right? It does occasionally have numbers that signify things are obvious, but a code is a way of telling a secret message, okay? If Revelation is intended to be written in code, it's a very bad code. Every time Revelation talks about Babylon, they're talking about Rome. And no one who reads it is going, you know, it's not like Roman soldiers are coming in and be like, hey, let me read this book that you're reading. Oh, you're talking about Babylon. Oh, that's fine. You know, you're fine. Like, no, they're going to know they're talking about Rome. Okay? Coded language is just another way of being literal. All right? That's not what's happening here either. Okay? We have to think of the symbols and the signs in the book of Revelation as being like the flag in that they contain a multitude of meanings all in one symbol. All right? This doesn't just mean one thing. It means a whole host of related things. It's the same thing when we read about a dragon or a beast or another beast or a woman that this is repeatedly going to call a whore. That doesn't just mean one thing. It means an awful lot of things. All right? And sometimes you have to understand the culture and the time to understand the things that it means or can mean. But also, this book has a little bit of depth to it and a little bit of verisimilitude, and that sometimes we read it now and we're saying, boy, I never thought of this meaning before, but here's something else that it can mean. Okay? It's a living book. It continues to speak to us. And there are new interpretations that come up out of it. All right.
Real quick, because we're running out of time, I want to go through some of these words really quick. In particular, prophecy. I think this is one of the most misunderstood words in the world. We think of a prophet as somebody who tells the future, okay? They go and they look in their crystal ball, or they sniff some magical chemicals or something like that. And then they come out and they say, sorry, Tanya, you're going to get hit by a bus tomorrow.
Where's the small bus?
Okay. And that's because a lot of prophecy is written in future language. And in particular, the Hebrew prophets in the Old Testament, when the early Christians got a hold of it, they decided that all of those prophets were actually talking about Jesus, and so they're all seeing the future, okay? It's not quite what prophets do, all right? Prophets do talk about the future, but they talk about the future as the inevitable consequence of the present, all right? Another way of saying this is the prophet doesn't just say it's going to rain, okay? When you watch like a modern-day weatherman, he says it's going to rain because, well, there's a low-pressure system moving in, and, you know, that's going to bring with it a higher chance of rain because it's going to bring humidity down, blah, 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 blah. Okay? Mike Grogan's a good friend of mine, so I'm allowed to say blah, blah, blah. That's sort of what a prophet does. And so if you go back to the Old Testament prophets, they say, Israel is about to be destroyed because you're not taking care of your citizens, and you're not defending your walls, and you're doing stupid things, and you're, the word they use a lot is like, you're prostituting yourselves with other gods, and as an inevitable consequence of this, you're going to be destroyed. So the prophets are saying, turn around, all right? So prophecy is not about, like, predicting the future and predicting wild things that are going to happen in the future. It's talking about how the future and the present are connected, okay? And then the other one, okay, the name of the book, right? Okay, by the way, the third thing, I'm talking about two things that I really want to accomplish in this class. Here's the third one, and secretly it's the most important. The book is called Revelation. It is not called Revelations, all right? If you say Revelations, you're going to have to put money in a swear jar. All right? And we're all going to go out to drinks when stuff. That's right. Okay? So one revelation to John. All right? And that word revelation in Greek, does anyone want to hazard a guess what it is in Greek? The word is apocalypse. Mm-hmm. Ooh, all right. And because of that, we think of apocalypse as meaning what?
The end.
The end of the world. Okay. Not quite. The word apocalypse literally means to unveil something, or shall we say to reveal something. Okay. And it is a specific genre of literature and writing that was common during this time period that used a particular way of talking about the future to talk about the present. So this image I've used in a sermon before, so if you've heard it before, yeah, sorry. But apocalyptic language, I like to call it the music. I got home late one time at my first church. I turned on the TV. I had left the TV on mute the last time that I had used it, so it was still on mute. And like when you turn on the TV and you don't remember what channel you were on and you don't know what's going on, okay? And I had left it on PBS. And they were playing a movie. It was movie night. And I'm making dinner in the kitchen, but I can look up and I can see the TV, and I just hadn't bothered to unmute it yet. I look up, and I see this guy turning around from a house and walking away. And the camera starts zooming out as this guy keeps walking and walking and walking. I'm thinking, this is a very weirdly shot scene. They're focusing a long time on this guy just walking away from the house. So, I was able to rewind, I unmuted it, I watched it again. And this time, as the guy turned and started walking away, the music started swelling, and it got more and more dramatic, and more and more and more dramatic. And then at the end of it, a voiceover talked about how this man was walking away to go to war, and he didn't know if he was going to be coming home again. And so the image of this man walking away was to dramatize the long walk away from home he was going on, but you could only understand the emotion and the gravity of it because of the music. The music is what made that scene work. Without the music, it looked really stupid, okay? Apocalyptic language is like music in that it takes the ordinary things that are going on in the world and explains what's happening in the most dramatic sense, okay? And the most simple way to understand that is to think about a battle happening between two people, okay? But then someone comes along and says, okay, this duel that they're fighting is actually part of a grand spiritual battle that is happening between the forces of good and evil. And apocalyptic language uses a lot of dualistic good versus evil kinds of language, okay? And so in apocalyptic language, there's going to be a lot of good people and bad people, and spoiler alert, the bad people all get thrown into a lake of fire at the end of Revelation.
Yay!
Yay!
I know a few that need that.
So, but that's going to be the genre that we're reading. Understanding apocalyptic language is important because it is also highly symbolic. And it tumbles over each other. And so sometimes those symbols don't so much mean one or two or three particular things so much as just evoke images and feelings. You'll see this in particular part of the structure of the book is three times during the book there are going to be angels that are doing seven things, okay? They're going to open seven seals. They're going to blow seven trumpets. They're going to turn over seven bowls, okay? And especially always the first, second, third, fourth, and then into the fifth one, they're all real short. So it's the thing happens, and then the thing happens, and then the thing happens, and then the thing happens, and it feels just like everything's out of control. That's what it's supposed to feel like. Images tumbling over each other. And Unfortunately, because we read this with too close of a glass and think of it in too, you know, specific a way, we're thinking, okay, this is like prophesying seven specific events that are going to happen in the future. That's not the point. That's not the point. The point is, when taken as a whole, read all together, again, in about an hour and 10 minutes, there's this singular message about coming good things if we can endure the bad things. It's a message of hope. So we're out of time. So real quick, are there big questions or thoughts? I will get in touch with me. I think it's probably the best way to do it. I'll have to email it or something like that. I haven't fully decided. I know there's enough people that are going to have to miss one or two or three nights or something like that. Thought, boy, it'd be nice if they could catch up. So, especially Dykemans, who probably have to be late most nights because they're cooking for us. So.
Is that what you meant, or did you mean the audio of Revelation?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, got it. Oh, no. I'm recording the class. So,
oh.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. You can go to YouTube and you can just say, you know,
Book of Revelation.
Book of Revelation audio. You can hear the whole thing. Yep. Any version you want, it's there. I found an NRSV version. Some of them are better than others, but what you gonna do?
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah.
You need to listen to it in Greek, right?
You don't. Well, yeah, listen to it in
English. The real rhythm.
That's right. Anything else? All right. I'll hang around for a little bit, but grace and peace to you all. By the end, by next week, everybody read through chapter
5:15.
Read. Stop when you see a big six. Read everything through there.
So it's 1 through 6?
That's right. 1 through 5, stop when you get to 6, because otherwise you've read too far. So.
What's the difference between the temple and the synagogue?
It's kind of weird because there are modern synagogues that will use the word temple, which I find it odd. The real answer to that is there's one temple, and God's presence is in that temple. And you do not go into the room where God's presence is because your face will melt off like Indiana Jones.
Uh-huh.
Okay? A synagogue literally just means like gathering place. You know, it's like congregation, you know. It's the place over there where we argue about the Torah and spend our Sabbath reading and sitting and writing. Talk a little bit of that on Sunday because Jesus is going to stand up in the synagogue and read. So.
And I've been to Jerusalem, so I don't know the name of the church that's built where the temple was.
What's built where the temple was is the Dome of the Rock.
That's what it is.
Yes.
With the big gold top.
Yes, which is a Muslim holy site. And hence why it's a very contested piece of real estate. I thought she was handing me hers because she wasn't going to be back next week. I thought she was just like, I'm not doing this. Extras. What was I going to say? There are big signs there that say, we don't know exactly where the temple was on this site, and we don't know if maybe God's presence is still actually there. So the site is very, very holy. Enter at your own risk. We went up anyway.
Yeah, I read something that said a lot of the Orthodox.
Fine deal.
Won't go up there at all.
Yeah, absolutely. It's considered too holy.
They're afraid they might somewhere into where the Holy of Holies was.
But the Muslims don't think that way about God.
No. The idea of God being like in a particular place is kind of abhorrent to them. But the Dome of the Rock is to them, don't let me get this wrong, I believe it is the place where, first of all, where Abraham tried to kill, in their religion, Ishmael, and Muhammad did something there as well, and I can't remember. So, my world religions class was a long time ago.
Beats mine. I never had one.
It's not where he like ascended. It might have been where he received the revelation. I could be wrong about that too, but.
For
Something like that. So like it's bad. Like in terms of the tenseness there.
It's very interesting that in Israel,
mm-hmm.
if they want to commemorate something,
mm-hmm.
they build a church.
Oh yeah.
So you've got the church at the premises about 15 feet away from the church of the fishes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
mm-hmm.
it's.
That's right. Hey.
There are churches everywhere.
You want.
I'll
never forget, there's the gag from The Simpsons where there's a meteorite about to hit Earth and everybody's about to die. There's a church right next to a bar. There's a meteorite's about to hit. Everybody leaves the church and the bar, and they all run to the other one and go inside. I don't know exactly what it means, but I still like it. So,
yeah. Well, it's actually the plaza includes the location where they Muhammad ascended into heaven.
Okay, it was ascension then. Okay, I was wrong. Good. Let that be a lesson to you all, how I am often wrong about things. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week. Also, probably see you before then.
We'll
see most of y'all before then. It was good chili.